So, Yolanda, can we skip over item number two, review and approve, since we don't have a quorum right now, and
sure.
wait until the end of the meeting?
That would be fine.
Okay.
So, I'm going to skip this. So, then technically, we're going to need to skip, because that's is that the voting is on the meeting dates, correct?
Yep. We have to skip that, too.
We have to skip that.
We can skip the vote, but we can...
Oh, okay.
Go through the agenda.
Okay. Okay. So then, just go ahead and, if you wouldn't mind, sorry, Yolanda, just
okay.
kind of just follow the agenda. So we're going to skip the number two, and then so number three, see if there's any public comment.
Okay.
You have any? Okay, then.
Okay.
And then just, yeah, go
new
under.
Business?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Shuttle service update.
Actually, the.
On the one.
The agenda, the 4.1 under new business.
Here we have one copy.
It's on the
here.
First page.
Oh.
On the agenda, the agenda
oh, okay.
itself. Yeah.
Okay.
So sorry about that.
Transportation Demand Management Advisory Committee dates. Can you go over the dates?
We can go over the dates. The dates, okay, so the TDM Advisory Committee, I did a staff report in regards to the 2018 dates. This is an action item for the committee members, so we can actually skip that portion until we have other members here. But with the two members that are here, do you guys have any questions or comments in regards to the dates of 2018?
No, I don't. I think they look fine.
Okay. Alrighty. So then the
Under
next,
4.2,
yeah.
Transportation Advisory Committee Work Plan 2018 discussion item?
Yes. Is this a... It's just an informational
yep.
piece, or it's not a voting piece?
It's
okay.
not a voting piece.
Alrighty. So on this one, this kind of outlines what this committee did last year and what this committee is going to receive as far as information for this upcoming 2018 calendar. As you can see, the summary of 2017, this committee did receive quite a bit of information in regards to transportation, some local and some Bay Area or Contra Costa County wide. Regional, yes, thank you, Zane. So in regards to this staff report, did you guys have any comments or questions or would like to see something in 2018? Other than what is listed here. So we have a pretty exciting 2018.
Yeah.
You know,
full.
We have a full 2018. And so that's what this item was, a discussion item. So
okay.
if you guys, like I said, if you guys have anything to bring up or add, looking forward to it. We're hoping next month, if I can get it confirmed, we're going to try to get MTC here again to give us an update on the I-680 express lanes. At least start that conversation, and if not in March, then it may be the March, April, May meeting, maybe. Okay.
Going on to 4.3, Bike to Work Day for 2018.
Yes, Bike to Work Day this year. It's May 10th. May 10th is the big day. That's the day that we ask commuters to make a switch and to try to bike to work if they can. It is a regional, actually Bay Area-wide event, and I am the Contra Costa County lead this year. So with that being said, not only San Ramon, I am also trying to coordinate all the Energizer stations. I do have help through the 501 Contra Costa programs, but here in San Ramon, We have a pretty large Energizer station on Bollinger and the Iron Horse Trail. And we're always looking for volunteers. So if you guys are interested, the Energizer station does open up at, I believe it's 6 a.m. We are on the trail by 5:15 to 5:30 a.m. getting ready. And so last year, Jeff, who is a committee member, the TDM Advisory Committee member, he came to the Energizer station because his hotel is right there along. And him and another employee, they were in charge of a bike. It's a blender. And you ride the bike and there's a blender attached and you're actually making your own smoothies. So we got donations from Whole Foods and from Sprouts. And Jeff took that on, him and his employee, to kind of run and make the smoothies for everybody, or at least put the ingredients in. So he really had a good time. So I'm looking forward to him doing that again. And any other committee member that's willing to get up as early as that, to come on down. It's a great, great event. We had over 400 cyclists stop. The city does partner with Bishop Ranch. So, you know, with that being said, we do have a really good Energizer station. We have coffee and breakfast burritos, and we have all the regional giveaways. We have the bags. So it is a great opportunity, and I hope that we can get a little bit more volunteers. We need someone to take pictures. That would be great. I try to do that. I kind of multitask that whole day. So
I can take pictures.
Oh, awesome. So you don't mind getting there about 6 a.m.? Great. Thank you. I will let Chris know that. That'd be a great thing to have. And also on Bike to Work Day, about March time frame, I get a supply of flyers. And we, with Amy's help, we do this massive mailing to the employers. And the employers will receive an 11 by 17, an 8 by 10. So each of you guys will receive that in the mail. Please post those up. Post them up for your employees. Post them up for the public that may come in. If you need more flyers, all you have to do is just send us an email. And we will mail you some additional flyers if needed. So look forward to that flyer. It usually happens March, maybe beginning April time frame. It's definitely prior to Bike to Work Day. But yeah, so May 10th is the day.
Okay, so then moving on to 4.4, San Ramon Transit Shelter Program.
Okay, so once again, this is an update. I believe I mentioned this before at the last meeting. But it is moving forward. So the City of San Ramon is working with County Connection and Outfront Media. Outfront Media is the company to supply transit shelters. So we are currently looking at replacing and installing some new shelters. We're focusing on the Doherty Valley area. Right now, at this time, I've met with County Connection and Outfront Media. County Connection is going to provide me with a list of transit shelters throughout the city and their boarding numbers, so we could see which ones has the most boarding, which ones have the least boarding. The grant that we are going for is $100,000. It's a grant through County Connection. And so we're kind of at the phase one of it. We're just trying to identify where to put the transit shelters in the Doherty Valley area, and where if we were to remove transit shelters in the city. We have a contract with Outfront Media. The contract, it states that with Outfront Media, they maintain up to, I believe, 25 shelters. So as long as we stay in that 25 area, they will do the replacement and the installing of new. If we go over the 25, then we would need to amend that contract. but right now we are in that contract. So next month, I will have a lot more information for this committee. I will bring forward to you guys the list of bus shelters, so you guys can see the boarding numbers, and then I will have designs of shelters, because up in the Doherty Valley there are no shelters right now. So I'm hoping to have this committee help make the decision on the style of the shelters to put up there. Does anybody have any questions on that? With Williams back now, does he do it? Does he use the chair, or how does that work?
Yeah. Williams, do you want to, can you vice chair the rest of the meeting?
I haven't heard, and we're missing a few, so.
And we're going to be on item 4.5 now.
Thank you, Yolanda.
Item 4.5, the 511 Dr. Costa strategy plan by Jillian.
Yeah, so in your packet there was a staff report letting you guys know the process so far. Once again, this was an item that I brought up last year. It is moving forward. It's moving forward in regards to CCTA, which is the Contra Costa Transportation Authority, has hired a consultant. AECOM has been hired. They are on board to move forward with the strategic plan. The plan is going to look at all the 501 Contra Costa programs and incentives, and look at the way we're doing it today, and possibly, hopefully, give us some direction to move forward with some technology. TDM today, if you guys notice, there's a lot of apps out there. You could get rides now by using apps. And so we're looking forward to their suggestions and their comments. And right now, what we are at right now is AECOM and CCTA is going to hold what we call kickoff meetings. And these this meeting is going to be elected officials and some regional committee members. And basically what that's gonna, they wanna get a feel of what people know of 501 Contra Costa. What do you know of 501? You know, what do you, what would you like to see 501 Contra Costa do? And then on the other side of it, we are in the process of creating a online survey that each of you guys will receive. And it's basically the same concept. It's basically gonna ask you guys, you know, the questions. How do you guys utilize 501 Contra Costa? Do you know of 501 Contra Costa? What would you guys like to see different in 501 Contra Costa? Or is 501 Contra Costa confusing? Is it too close to 511? You know, they're going to ask you all these different questions. So we are in the process right now of working with AECOM and CCTA to create that survey. The interviews for the elected officials and the regional committees, that's going to take place in February. So our next meeting, I will have an update on that for this committee. And AECOM's on a pretty tight budget. All this needs to be done by the end of this year. So a lot of this stuff's gonna move pretty quickly. So I don't think the survey is gonna be sent out by February, but I know it's gonna be like the beginning of March or something like that. So keep an eye out for that. And definitely you guys are gonna be involved in that.
So the survey comes out to all the employers in the area?
So what they're going to do is they're going to rely on each of us at 501 Contra Costa to send out the survey link to individuals.
Okay.
So what I would do is send it out to this group and say, if you guys wouldn't mind, you know, filling this out. Now, like, you know, you might then say, hey, you know what? I'm going to send this out to my employees. Because the more information we get, better that we know what people, if they do know about 501 Contra Costa. So that's going to be coming. And like I said, it's all a kind of a work in progress, but I do know AECOM is moving pretty quickly on everything because of the deadline.
Okay. Okay.
It has, you know, completed by the end of the year.
By the end of the year, do they have a timeline for the deadline? Or?
They do have a timeline. So originally, when they were being interviewed by CCTA, they had a timeline of 2 years to complete this project. So CCTA had to go back to them and say, wait a minute, no, you know, this needs to be done. To can you guys shorten your timeline? And they did, and they presented that to us at the January 10th meeting. They showed us their condensed timeline, and like I said, it's pretty short, but it goes until the end of December. So more, definitely more to come on that, but this is, like I said, this committee will be involved in the survey. It's called a stakeholders survey, and it's for the employers, it's for the customers. You know, they want me to send out that survey to all the, like the Vanpool passengers, you know,
okay,
to get as much information that we can, that people, that way we know what people know about us. Because one of the things that's on the table is the possibility of rebranding, you know, 501 Contra Costa, you know, being out there in the public and promoting 501 Contra Costa. I always get called 511, or I get called County Connection, you know, I'm the bus lady or something. So one of the things that they really want to hone in on is to see, like, is it confusing to,
right,
our, you know, our customers?
Yeah, I just wrote 511.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like,
yeah, CC, Contra Costa. So does anybody have any questions about this staff report or about the strategic plan?
I do. So just in how does the 511 effort support or enhance the other surveys that, I guess, you guys are doing separately? I mean, is it going to be sort of one leads from another, or?
So right.
I mean, we've talked for the last two meetings, and
yes,
I think
it's on there.
Later on, we will.
Yes.
We have our own surveys, and
yes,
it seems like there's a lot of survey work being done.
Yeah.
And so somehow way, if we're talking sort of this is the larger sort of regional program, but then San Ramon has its own separate, you know, focused region. It seems like one should feed the other.
Yeah.
And so I'm just wondering how the two will actually work like that in concert, other than sort of having these separate, disparate,
mm-hmm,
sort of pieces going on.
So to my knowledge, the two surveys are going to be two different surveys. So the survey that's going to be conducted for the strategic plan, that one's going to be coming from CCTA and from AECOM, who is the consultant that they hired. That survey is just to get an overview of what people know about 501 Contra Costa. The survey that this committee will be doing later in the fall, that is an employer survey. That survey is focusing on how is your employees getting to work? What is your employees' commute? Do they commute from, you know, that kind of information? It's a different, two different surveys.
But when's the strategic plan and when's the detailed plan? And so the detailed plan should somehow feed the strategic plan. So I'm just looking for that connection.
Yeah.
And sure, the surveys may be different, but I guess I'm just looking for a little more direction as to how they're actually going to work together then, instead of staying separate.
Mm-hmm.
Because certainly the regional effort should be,
yeah,
sort of, or the local effort should be sort of supporting the regional effort. And so I'm just looking for a little bit of connectivity there that, because I didn't hear it here in the initial response, because we talked to them, you know, we said they were separate surveys, but certainly, I mean, if we're talking TDM strategy and what needs to be done to reduce single occupant vehicles, I mean, one should feed the other and not necessarily work in separate silos. So.
Right. I guess what my answer would be is we need to figure out what questions are going to be asked, what questions the consultants and CCTA are going to ask for the strategic plan survey to see if that can play into our employer survey. That's the best I can answer your question. And then once I know the questions, once I know the results, then maybe when we're ready to move forward for the October survey, I could see if some of those questions can play into the employer survey. But right now, not knowing the questions, I it's hard to answer that one right now.
Have we already started gathering questions for our survey that's being done in the fall? Is there like another committee that's working on that?
No. I have standard questions that we've asked in the past. Okay. And that's one thing that this committee will start looking at. Today's, I was hoping to actually start talking about a timeline so that I'll have a better idea, because the first thing that needs to be done is send out an RFP to the consulting firm that we are going to select for the survey. And then part of that RFP is a timeline. So to me, the first step is to get that timeline in order. And that way, the next meeting, I'll have a draft RFP, and we can start looking at that, and then we can get that RFP out, and then we can determine on the questions. But to answer your question, Patricia, normally we do have standard questions, so that way we can match apples to apples compared to the previous year surveys. There might be a couple of new ones that we might throw in there based on the strategic plan survey. But, you know, normally we try to match so that way the consultant can pull from 2009, 2013. And that's just the way it normally is done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other questions? Oh, sorry, Chris Weeks is calling. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take this real quick.
Yep.
Hello.
He's on his way. He says he apologizes. He had a doctor's appointment that went later. Okay.
Yeah, so we're going to the five unfinished business. Seth was going to ask the employees of the RFP.
Right. So today what I would like to do, Chris is going to be here in like 5 minutes. So we can kind of hopefully talk for 5 minutes so he can have some input on this. Just kind of wanted to talk about a timeline. I know last year we talked about this survey and we all decided to do it in the fall, which is the same time frame as the last two other surveys. And so technically that would be like in the October month. So what I would like to do is just real quick kind of look at if you don't mind, I'm just going to look at my calendar so I know. So if we look at October, and I just have a timeline that I've used before. So, yeah, okay. In the past, we've always selected a week, right? So we would say the week of October 15th. Let's target that week for the employers. And then the link would be open for 1 week. How did you get to work for this 1 week? And we captured weekends because of employees that go to hotels. So we would do like a Sunday to a Saturday. All right? And we did that in 2009. And we've done that in previous years. Last year, the survey we did in 2013, if you guys recall, that was just San Ramon in Danville only that did this survey. And we basically targeted the month. Instead of having an employee say, oh, for that 1 week, what did I do? And let's say that employee is on vacation. So what we did was basically for the month of December, of October, how did you normally get to work? All right? And then we just let them, normally for the month I did this, and it wasn't basically a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday kind of a thing. So for this survey, I kind of wanted to kind of mimic what we've done in 2009 and select a week. I think selecting a week, and I wish Chris was here because I'm sure he would have a different situation or a comment. So with that being said, let's just, for October, and we do the timeline, it looks like, according to the timeline that I have, I would need to start establishing the employer list like in July. I would need to figure out how many employers, because for this particular survey, we sent out the RFP in August in order to get enough time for them to reply back, because the RFP is going to let them know how many employers are going to participate, if the employers are going to be, how many employers will want paper, how many employers will want online. Because believe it or not, a lot of employers still request paper, because some employees don't have that capability of a computer. So prior to sending out the RFP, a lot of these things I'm going to need to know before that RFP is printed. And when I send next month, when you guys actually see a draft RFP, you'll see what I'm referring to in regards to this is how many employers. Because we're doing, at the same time, this survey is going to be Southwest Contra Costa County wide. So it's going to include the La Mirinda area, which is Moraga, Orinda, and Lafayette, and the San Ramon Valley. But this committee is just focusing on San Ramon. Okay? So with that being said, looking at the calendar, and I'm just, to be honest, trying to make time for Chris to come running in here. You know, October is going to be the month we're focusing on. And Columbus Day is on the 8th, so that's never good to do a holiday when you have a holiday. So we want something, we probably wouldn't want the week of Halloween, because people might be taking it off to take their kids to do stuff. So a good, clean week would either be the week of the 15th or the 22nd. It's before Thanksgiving, because you never want to do it around, you know, a major holiday. So for right now, what I would like to target is week of October 15th or October 22nd. And then I will start working on this timeline. And then I'll send this out to you guys too, you know, before our next meeting, so you guys can at least see what I'm focusing on here. And then normally during this process, this committee may meet an additional time, because of, we meet every other month. But because of the fact of when I do this and I figure out, oh, we need to send this bid out by August whatever day, we might have to meet, you know, in between, or, you know, at a different time scheduled. Hi, Chris.
Hello. Sorry, I got stuck with my optometrist. I had to do a whole series of tests, so I'm fine. Yeah.
Good to know.
Okay, sorry if I'm missing all this.
All right, Chris. So we are on unfinished business item 5.1. the employer survey, and today's discussion is the timeline of the survey. Just to kind of give you a recap, I know we decided, this committee decided last year to move forward in the fall of this year for this survey, and to kind of keep in the routine of previous year, we're focusing in October.
Okay.
I did explain to them that last year, the last survey we did, and you probably have a little bit more information on this, we basically called it a survey month, and we did it for the month of October instead of targeting just a certain week. And I don't know if you recall the reason why we did that. It was just basically trying to capture normal commute patterns instead of saying this one week, you have this one week to tell us what you did, because some people might be sick that week or whatever. I know we had a full discussion on that.
Yeah, I think it was specifically, as I remember, we wanted it to be your average week.
Okay.
I don't think it was that specific week. I think it was like, what is your average week? And it, there, since it wasn't that specific week, that's why we gave people more time to answer that
I think,
average
okay,
week,
I remember that now.
Since you weren't required to answer exactly what you did that week,
yeah.
The odds of us hitting some percentage of people that are just like that week they didn't go to work or
yeah.
You know, we want to know what they regularly do, not just what they happen to do in that one little window.
Right. Sorry.
So that, I think that's why we were doing that.
Okay.
And we wanted to give people as much time as possible to answer the question so that they didn't feel like, oh, I've got to do that today or else I can't participate. Like there's no reason to force them
okay.
if it's an average week into you know, a small amount of time to answer it.
Yeah.
That was, as I remember, that was the thing.
And we still had them say what they did Sunday through a Saturday. It yeah. was just
an average week.
Okay, so, okay,
and
that makes sense.
We were trying to figure out like, how,
yeah.
what their regular behavior was, and that's the purpose of doing the survey, to find out what people normally do, not necessarily what they do in February or whatever.
Okay, well, there we go. So that's a good point. So what I just said about week of the 15th and the week of the 22nd, we probably, because I thought we were going to target a week, and I didn't remember the conversation or the reason why we went with months.
I don't see why we would restrict that. I mean, I'm open to doing however we want to do it.
Yeah.
My goal is to get as many people participating as possible. And not lose anybody by then looking it up and saying, oh, well, you know, I only came to work one day this week, so I guess I'll answer just Thursday.
Oh, that's, yeah, okay.
You know?
Okay.
That's just my thinking.
So how do you guys feel? I mean, do you have any input in regards to that, a week versus the month, allowing people to have more time to answer or sticking to just a certain week? Do you guys have any input on that?
We might get better participation.
For the month.
For the month.
Yeah, if you don't limit it to a week, yeah, I think we would. I don't know if it necessarily needs to be a month, but I think more than a week should be.
Okay.
I think it's just a word of semantic. Mm-hmm. We're still looking at an average. You said
an average day
in a week. So yeah. It's just cool.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, when you're talking about science, you know, it's like, if you want to hang your hat on it, you know, sometimes it's good to be really strict. You know, you could say, what did you do exactly these days and compare it to exactly another data point? For me, that's the only rationale for going the other way.
Okay.
But I don't think we care about it as much there. I think we're just more trying to figure out what people are doing regularly and how to make their commutes better. You know, and if there was a specific problem during
yeah.
that week every year,
then
it would make sense to focus on it. You know, if it was like the week of, that there was a special holiday or, you know, that there's always an accident. Or
yeah,
that would make more sense to restrict.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
Okay. No, I even told him I was waiting for you to come in to help me remember because it's been a while. It's been 2013, so it has been a while since the last, you know, survey. So that makes sense. So we will target then the month of, we'll just say October, and then I'll redo the timeline. And as I said, we might have to have a special meeting. I was thinking maybe, let me look at the dates again, just to kind of get a better idea. So possibly between like the July and September meeting, we might have to have an August meeting. You know, I'm just, you know, we might have to have that extra meeting, especially if when that RFP needs to be sent out. We might have to have an extra meeting, but that's more to come once we get the timeline settled. And then next month, I'll bring you guys the draft RFP. We can start looking at that, making changes, and at the same time, I will be working on an employer list. Chris will be working on for Bishop Ranch. We can have a better idea of how many employers will be participating, which goes hand in hand with the RFP for the consultant. So Anything else, Chris? What else should we talk about with this?
There's kind of the Bishop Branch outreach component.
Yes.
That kind of subsection. And then there's the towns.
Cities, yeah. And 501 Contra Costa. So there's three different.
Yeah, the Contra Costa is the bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
When it comes to reaching out to the cities.
Yes.
Will you be taking the lead on that part, trying to make sure that they are able, that they can help you? Because I remember the struggles you went through, like just trying to get, like, the people that worked at Drager's, for example, to answer
exactly.
the questions. And
yes.
you show up and you say, here's your survey, and they put it all in their inboxes, and they didn't do it, and then you had to go back and back.
Right, right, right.
I mean, is there a way to get city stamp on there that gets people to do it, like the property owner could ask the people running the business to do it or something like that?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that's one of the big challenges that I have is getting the property managers and the employers, even at that level, to send this out to their employees, because that's, we need that information, you know. Yeah. But the one thing with me is the hat that I wear for 501 Contra Costa and the other cities that I work with, there is a committee, and not to throw a bunch of stuff at you guys, it's called SWAT, which is the Southwest Area Transportation. And at that committee, there's a representative from each of the cities. So there's someone from Danville, Lafayette, Moraga, and Orinda. I will be definitely working with them one-on-one to get this information out to the employers. And that way, them being the city official can work with the employers that you're, like you're saying, you know. Mm-hmm. And for San Ramon, it will be me working with the San Ramon employers, trying to, you know, and just making sure they know how important the survey is.
What about the new stuff we've gathered since 2013? Because there was that legislation that passed. I don't know if you guys heard that, but there's a legislation, I think it was 2015 or something, that mandated all employers larger than 50
correct
to get a commuter assistance
yes.
plan in place,
mm-hmm.
Unless they qualified in two other categories. One was free shuttle to regional transit. The other was a kind of smorgasbord, which
yeah.
was like, did you smorgasbord, where you have a you know electric vehicles,
yeah.
I don't know, bike stuff, and you can mix them together. I would assume that we have kind of a new contact list related to that. Maybe
yes.
that's a source of sending this out.
Yes, we do. Yes, I do. Being with 501 Contra Costa, I have access to that database, which is put together by 511. So I do have access to that, and I can pull employers from that database okay. to make sure that they are included and invited mm-hmm. into this survey. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I have to look at the survey for 2013. No, because, yeah, like you said, it was 2015, because we didn't have a question. So that is definitely a new question that we would probably add to the survey that, are you registered, you know, in the Bay Area commuter benefit program.
Now, are there incentive programs for companies to make or have their employees answer these
yeah.
questionnaires?
No, that's a very good question. So the budget for this survey is $20,000, which is coming from the 501 Contra Costa budget. And then I have an extra $5,000 put away for incentives.
Okay.
So normally what we do is we try to find a champion in each employer site. That person we rely on to submit the survey to. That individual receives an incentive from 501 Contra Costa. Then we also provide incentives for people that participate in the survey. We do random raffles. I know Chris did something. So I think you did something for your tenants, and I did something differently for outside of Bishop Branch last time. Normally, it's like a $25 gift card to Starbucks or something like that. The individuals that help out, the ones that are actually sending out the link and being our champion at their employer, I want to say they got a little bit more of an incentive for being that individual. And I, you know, I have a list of that, and I usually maintain that list and provide them with an incentive. So we try to incentivize as much as possible, because that's what gets people to fill it out.
Yeah, and I think this year there's some new things that are that have happened, like the express lane,
yeah,
for example, and we might be able to tap MTC to maybe they want to give away, you know, preloaded fast track transponders or something. To if we put more questions about
that's
the
true
express lane to find out, and I can go, this isn't the time to start talking about questions.
No, and we could. I mean, it's a good idea to throw stuff out there.
Okay.
You know, because so when I do put something together, at least I have
right
a draft.
Because there's still a lot of questions about it. I hear all kinds of, you know, mystical thoughts people have about the lanes, and I hear things that people are, you know, personal experiences, opinions, and I'm sure MTC is interested in hearing those things. And I'm interested in some stuff because I don't think they've clearly answered some things. And, you know, for example, you know, talked to a bunch of people last week at different employers who called me and said for the first time they saw the price of the express lane above 525 or something. And they're like, why has it suddenly changed? And so I started checking it, and there actually was previously, I mean, if you look at system-wide, there are 525, mm-hmm. 595 prices that are showing up around the Bay Area, but I'm pretty sure it was the first time it showed up. So I didn't know that a change had been made or adjustment. So I'm sure that having a question about how high do you think the cap should be on this? Should there be any cap at all? You know, what is the, you know, to learn more about what the purpose of the lanes is. I don't think there's been enough discussion about how it's going to improve things. And maybe MTC would want to hear a little bit from our area about it.
Yeah.
So maybe we should reach out to them. And then with program Scoop that we've been working with, it's like a regional carpool matching tool.
Mm-hmm.
Bart's been working with them. I'd be really interested in getting some more questions on there about carpooling and possibly getting people involved in this carpool matching stuff. You know, get, you know, a lot of people don't even know that there's, you know, casual carpool pickup location in Vallejo, for example. Or, you know, we want to beef up this as an educational tool.
Mm-hmm.
I guess talking to what Brian was talking about on here, you know, I mean, what are we going to do with it? You know, just collecting information with no purpose is kind of what, you know, people don't get excited about no purpose. You know, like, why are you asking me again? You asked me this 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It's a long time, but someone might say that.
Yeah.
So if there's maybe some info we provide in advance that says, hey, what are we going to do with the results here? Basically, I think last time it just said, we'll just collect this information again because we collected it last time. You know, so
well,
if there's something we're going to do with it, that might be worth talking about.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're going to share this information with MTC to give them your feelings about the new express lanes. We're going to share this information with the Contra Costa Transportation Authority so they can see how you enjoyed using Scoop or think we can improve and get more people to carpool.
Right.
Something like that.
Right. So just in regards to that, in regards to what this information is used for, I do know the cities utilize this information for their return to source funds that they receive for, like, from Measure J. I know our planning departments constantly, they will ask me for this information when they are doing things. You know, our general plan.
What does that mean, though? Like, how do you explain that to your average Joe? You know,
well, no, I know.
Funds,
I know. No, I get that. But the cities do rely on this information, just
what?
For the sake. Just for their own knowledge and when they apply for stuff.
Yeah.
And for
so it helps us get grants.
Yeah. For the cities.
Yeah, so just making that clear, I think
get
people excited about it. Hey, you want more money for the roads in your area? Answer these questions.
Mm-hmm.
You want to improve this? Blah, blah, blah. Answer these questions, you know? Like a call to action.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
Be,
no, that's good to know. Yeah.
It can be anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think if we look at the survey very closely, I don't know what the 2015 survey really captured, mm-hmm. but I'm very sure, very optimistic that the city have been able to use part of the survey to improve part of the city.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe those are the kind of things we want to recapture on the survey to bring an awareness to people that's going to participate on the survey this time around.
Yeah, like maybe what the surveys were used to get us in the past.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, this last survey helped us get this, that, and the other thing.
Well,
just fill out the survey this time, and maybe we'll get something new. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Lisa might know those things.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe other people in the planning department.
Okay. All right. So definitely more on this topic, as you guys know, this is going to be on our agenda until the end of the year, if not beginning of next year.
We'll definitely bite your questions.
Mm-hmm.
We could gather information on pedestrian infrastructure, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Where you could say, hey, do you like the, recently, I don't know if you saw this, but the manual of, MUTCD, I don't remember what it stands for, but they no longer approve of those blinking crosswalks anymore. In the original format that they used to be in. They've been removed from the approved street treatment stuff. I just kind of saw an email go by about that. And we have those all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe this is a time to run by some new street stuff, that people might be interested in, especially with City Center coming down the pike.
Right. Okay. No, I appreciate. Any other comments? Okay. So more to come on that one.
Williams, can you share the rest of the meeting?
Okay, we're going to go on 5.2 Transportation Committee Fair Event. Another update. That will be that.
Again. So as you guys know, I introduced Zane last meeting, and he has been working and getting out there in the community. So Zane, you want to provide a brief update of what you've done in the city?
Yes.
Go for it.
When I began in August, we did inventory of what materials we had out as incentives to give out to people. Once we figured out what was a good way to use kind of branding things that, if you look at 511 Contra Costa, what would you want to use in your office? So we ordered mobile phone chargers, then people like, we almost got headphones, we weren't able to, pens, notebooks, a lot of stationery. And then last month I did several events in San Ramon. One was I went to PS Business Parks, which is one of the offices around the corner, and I set up a spin wheel where the different employers within the site would come by, we'd talk to them, we'd give them information about carpooling, vanpooling, what the ride share, all the incentives are, and then they could spin the wheel, they could get a swag bag, so they got bags with different things as swags they remembered, and I would put in more information about applying for incentives. Once I did, I did that in the second event. The good thing about that is when people come, they discuss things. So I had one person, they discussed about the student transit vouchers, how to get up for that. And the second person, they actually went on and they said, well, what are our options for carpool if you want to get the $25 incentive? So that went quite well. For the following month, let me get back to the previous month. When I spoke with you guys or listened in on the conversation, I ended up reaching out to the other two hotels over here. It was the Extended Stay and the Hyatt. And I came, they said some concerns about what they want as far as transportation. I passed along that information. And we're working on having them have employee fairs where they could have people have a lunch meeting where they have all kinds of ideas that we can give to them. So we have swag bags we're working on. We're setting up when they have a good time. We're 30, 40 employees. They're all in one place. We want to get the most out of our presentation. So the other thing that we're working on is I'm not sure how it's going to work out, but we're working on the San Ramon Farmers Markets. We've already done Danville, Luff, Orinda. We've done Danville and Orinda. And we're also working on more Lafayette and Denver, and then we're going to work on San Ramon. So once it gets warmer, the community, people come in with the community, then we can do some outreach. We can talk to them. We can see what they don't know about. We can give out information. If any of you guys have some presentation ideas at your businesses, we'd love to schedule them, for the months.
The wheel seems to attract people. It's pretty fancy. It's a big old wheel and it has 501 Contra Costa on it, and we write in the prizes, and it just draws people kind of into you. And So yeah.
Can I show them pictures?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I have some pictures.
So it's all good. I mean, that's a positive note. And I reached out to DVC San Ramon because I do a student program for them. And so I need to work with Zane on this, but we're going to get out there soon to do an event there for their students and for the, you know, the teachers and for the staff there. So that's going to come up. Any questions about that? Chris, did you want to add anything in regards to Bishop Ranch for commuter fares and events? It's a wheel. It's a wheel.
We should definitely bring that to Bike to Work Day.
We are planning on doing that. Zane will be there for Bike to Work Day with the wheel, so that kind of be his thing to manage,
set up
and maintain. But yeah, well, but do you have anything to add?
We've been doing, I don't know if you saw the paper, we got signed 8 new leases recently. So we've been doing kind of relocation events for these new employers. So what we usually do is we'll go where their previous office was located and do what we call the dog and pony show, which is basically, you know, we show them all the amenities that are available to them, Bishop Ranch, including transportation stuff, and get them all with the free unlimited bus pass for all the area of Bishop Ranch and the Contra Costa area, so they can ride anywhere they want in Contra Costa County for free, anytime they want. They don't have to even be commuting to work, which is nice. And then they can stack their employer's pre-tax transit cash onto that Clipper card that our pass is on, so then they can get reductions in the cost of their BART and other things like that. So we've been doing that kind of orientation thing for the relocation groups. We've been doing a bunch of events with our autonomous bus program and our bike program. So we just had, I just did a tour of students from Seoul University in Korea. And they all came and rode with me, and I showed them all the different projects. Talked to them about bike sharing in the U.S. and ways we do partnerships with public and private stuff. And they were really surprised by the way that the city and companies are able to work together. He said in Korea that just doesn't happen at all.
Interesting.
Like it's just fighting, you know, all the time, and they can never partner on anything. So like, how did you do it? And I'm like, well, we're just trying to work together. They were really blown away by that kind of hand-in-hand stuff we do, like with kind of developing stuff. So I don't know what that means, but there was a professor there from Seoul University also, and he was super interested in TMAs. And he didn't know anything about that. I guess they don't have those in Korea, so he was excited to be able to present that stuff. So that's kind of an international side to the events that are going on. Chevron has a new transportation guy, and so we're still negotiating with them to try to get our people to be able to match with their van pools. They have a big fleet of them, and it's just only Chevron people in there. And we subsidize a couple van pools that have Chevron drivers. But they were started by the RTMA, not by Chevron. So we're trying to convince them to take them in-house and then and maintain our driver subsidy that we give for van pools. So that's something that's going on as far as events go. But it was Christmas time.
Yes, I know. Yeah, exactly.
There was some quiet time.
Yeah. But we are having a big event coming up. The date is not exactly set. Kind of under the radar, we were able to get our license plates to operate an autonomous vehicle on public roadway over the Christmas time, so we succeeded in that difficult task.
Yeah.
And so the DMV wants, as part of giving us those plates, so we're going to do some kind of public event in the next couple months, that probably in February. The date's not set because it's hard to get those kind of people all together in one place, so the governor can't come, I don't know. I would guess he might sign up to come and not be able to make it. That usually happens. But we'll see. So there should be more publicity about that, and you know how people will see the bus and those kind of things coming up for the next couple of weeks. They just didn't want to have all the hype around Las Vegas. I don't know if you saw that with their autonomous bus. They kind of went the other direction, which was all hype and big accident and all kinds of stuff like that. And we're kind of going the other way. We're just trying to keep it low-key and make sure everything's working and everybody's on board before we make a big announcement. So
yeah, that's true.
Things that are going on right now. So with all these new companies, we're going to have a lot of these new orientation events, and all like
all the people that work at City Center, for example, all those new employers, as they come in, they'll all have that bus pass in their pocket. So the free unlimited bus ride, any new person that starts working there,
right.
You know, we'll be counseling them, we'll do special events for them, we'll help Contra Costa 511 to be part of that. You know, getting people into buses right away when they first start working there rather than having them drive. What else? The hydrogen station's going great.
Good.
So maybe I can talk about that in new business at the end.
So just to let you guys know, when Chris mentioned the City Center, you know, that's due to open this October. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's really exciting for, you know, San Ramon. Mm-hmm. And Bishop Ranch is working really hard at making sure that people move around a little easy getting to and from the City Center. So that's something too that this committee, you know, will be talking about, you know, in the next couple of months, and the big opening, like you said, that's October. It's a big thing.
Yeah, so one piece that we should know about as the TDM people is that there is going to be a City Center designated bus stop. So it's going to have its own bus stop with its own a pull-in. Mm-hmm. So it's not just going to be, you know, we're going to throw a sign up somewhere. I mean, we're actually building a stop. Mm-hmm. And it'll be a place. We're trying to make it so that the schedule makes a lot of sense for the users. So the way Bishop Ranch is laid out, there's this transit center and then there's City Center, and they aren't the same thing. So I really wanted to have it that the transit center and the City Center be one and the same. But we wanted to make sure that we didn't wreck, well, County Connection really wanted to make sure we didn't wreck any transfers that were happening at the transit center.
Correct.
So we're in the final stages of negotiating how it'll route.
Right.
And it's probably going to be 35 is going to be primary bus to there. So it basically opens up all the Doherty Valley people to come in and get to City Center by bus, which is cool. And it's actually faster on the 35 than the 97X to get to BART. Mm-hmm. So it's actually a better bus for commuters because the freeways are getting backed up. So 97 gets delayed and a lot of people jump on 35 instead. So I think it's a win for Doherty Valley. It's good for City Center to have that bus be focusing on us.
Right.
It's just, you know, schedule planners and pedestrian planners who are working on the bus want to make sure that people don't feel the routing is awkward. So we're going back and forth about how it's going to route.
Like, correct.
And we don't have it, the inbound is figured out, but the outbound is still kind of not quite sorted. So
right.
We're in the final stages of fixing that part, and then we're negotiating what's going on weekends. I'm working on I'm bidding out a circulator shuttle to get people from all of the businesses there into City Center so they can go and have their cocktail lunch or whatever they're going to have, or go see a movie in the middle of the day. What I'm hoping it'll be is an on-demand shuttle. So I don't know if you've ever heard of this before. It's kind of like Uber, but it's basically focused inside Bishop Ranch.
Correct.
So it'll be, we want a Chariot to do it, so they may rise to the occasion. We're having them present next week. They don't have the technology yet, but there's a smaller company called Duet that has the technology to be able to, every 15 minutes, do dynamic matching and routing. Mm-hmm. So if you get one person over here and one person over here, it won't route all to all these empty spots and stops. It'll go directly to the people who have requested a ride and pick them up and bring them in. And then for coming back, it'll dynamically plan the next route. So if going back, it doesn't have to go to those same places unless there's people on the bus that want to do that. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of something that's being experimented with over all transit agencies now. County Connection's experimenting with a company called Transloc, which just got purchased by Uber. So Uber's moving into the space too. So there's a lot of flux in the on-demand industry.
Exactly.
And we're going to have a chance to experiment with that new technology. Either way, I made sure the Chariot will by Q3 of this year have some kind of on-demand if we end up giving them and that Q3 is when we're opening. Mm-hmm. So I'm half dozen six the other with which vendor to use, but we're still weighing it. So that's just kind of like an advanced discussion for you guys. Don't tell anybody about this stuff yet. But you know, keep your eyes on these companies, Chariot and Duet, which is kind of a new company. And you know, think of this on-demand shuttle stuff. I think that you'll find it interesting, and you'll hear more and more about it, especially with Uber buying into the space now.
Yeah,
it's an interesting
definitely.
Time. It'd be nice to be able to just walk up and have something already ready to go, but we're enough ahead of the curve that there's nothing there yet. So we're having to kind of support these little startups to be able to come up with the perfect thing.
Right.
That's enough. Sorry, I can go on.
No, it's okay.
Hours, but I mean, if anybody should know about this before the decisions are finally made, this is group. So I thought I'd just give you a little taste of that stuff, and you know, by next time we'll have more of a sense of what vendor it's going to be.
Yes.
And then I can show you more about how what we're doing. It's,
right.
It's part of building City Center that we're required to have some kind of circulator bus service.
Yes.
And this is what that's for.
Did you have a question, Zane?
Yeah, actually, I was going to, two things. When you said the autonomous, are there routes already in place yet for the autonomous ones? Mm-hmm.
There's what we're calling the launch day route, which is more about the first day of service publicly. And that's going to be a limited route that's basically on the public roads for a short, brief period of time. It's just going to go between 2600 Camino Ramon and Fish Branch 6, which is kind of across the executive, and allow people to move back and forth to the roundhouse. And it's just, you know, first baby step, kind of proof of concept that people could use it. And then what we want the bus to do, it depends on elaborate series of things, which I may bring more in here later, but it's basically we want it to be able to communicate with signal lights. And so the first and simplest signal light that we have in Bishop Ranch is basically mid-block on Camino Ramon between Bishop and Executive. So there's this new mid-block crosswalk that we built. So we want the bus to be able to cross that first. That'll be our first signal light. And we're upgrading the technology in that light so that it can communicate. So that's probably going to take 3 to 4 months to get that all that technology and the light that's required so they can talk to each other in the right way.
And then they can learn.
Yeah. And so the idea is basically it'll go between GE and Bishop Ranch 3, go to the several of the buildings, 2700 Camino Ramon, 3001 Camino Ramon, and then as City Center opens, there's a mid-block crosswalk on Bishop that'll take you right into the heart of City Center, and I'll have it go basically right to the edge of that crosswalk and drop people there. So it'll be a useful kind of short route that it's only on public roads for a short period of time, but it's good for testing.
Yeah.
And we would really love to run the circulator on this fully autonomous bus, but I'm not ready for that yet, and I don't think that anybody really wants to have that happen except the public, of course. We'd love to see it working. But I think that we need to figure out a lot of things first, and including you know how the police are going to respond if there's a situation with it. How people are going to interact with it,
right.
You know, that because the app is still in development by Best Mile, which is a company that works at Govan Station. So there's a bunch of pieces that need to be tied up. And so in the interim, we're going to run this basic route that goes across the street and keep, and that's so we can, because we're allowed to go on the public road, but that's not the route that as owners of the vehicles we wanted. But Easy Mile wants to operate that route first before they'll go and use the streetlight. So it's a compromise. We said, okay, fine, do that for a few months until you feel comfortable, and then let's move over to where we want the route to be. So, long answer, but that's where they're going to be, and those routes are, whether the public's going to be involved and how they're going to be involved, is completely sorted out. So we're still arguing about how that's going to work.
That's very interesting. Thank you. And I was just curious when I heard your last presentation about it. So it was interesting how it's going to be interact with the city, and that's good that I guess everybody's taking a very methodical, safer approach. You know?
Yeah, and it's just, I know it's not as sexy to, you know, we aren't going to have some huge event. It's not going to be barreling down Camino Ramon right away. I mean, it's just going to be a curiosity for the short run and an experiment. And I'm hoping that by the end of the year, it'll be a viable way people
yes.
can get from place to place, and someone like Duet can easily step in and work with the autonomous buses to do that dynamic trip mapping. And that's one of the promises of autonomous buses, that's the whole way they work,
yeah.
is through you know some kind of on-demand trip mapping for the people that need them. So we're hoping there'll be some kind of confluence there, and, but no one can see into that future
app-based.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
All right.
5.3 Contra Costa Countrywide Incentive Program.
Yeah, so just with Bike to Work Day coming, I just wanted to make sure that everybody knew about. So 501 Contra Costa can help fund bike training courses for your employees, if that's something you guys would be interested in. A lot of people for Bike to Work Day, they're a little scared to get on their bike, especially if they haven't biked in a long time. So through the 501 Contra Costa program, I can help fund a training course. Bike East Bay puts on different types of courses from beginning to advanced. And it's a great opportunity if you guys are interested, or if you want to talk to your property managers about it. Maybe it's something they could do for the whole, you know, like for the marketplace. I'm just going to throw it out there, you know. Maybe it's something that they might be interested in doing. You know, you can work with me, but there is funding out there for that. I mean, it's a great opportunity to get people to get comfortable riding a bike. Go ahead. Yes.
So what do you mean training for biking? Is someone that has not ride a bike before?
I mean, they're called Bike East Bay. They're the coalition. Chris can talk a lot more about that. I know he can. But they are the Alameda County Bike Coalition. And I can send you guys the link. And as I said, they offer several different training classes. It can be from, you know, beginning, you know, I don't know if they teach how to ride a bike, but it's basically the rules of the road, correct?
They're all led by league cycling instructors who are trained by the League of American Bicyclists in bike safety.
Yeah.
And they've taken a series of courses in riding in traffic and how to stop and how to avoid things in the road. And they're credentialed to be able to teach these classes. And they can be customized for any group you have.
Exactly.
So I really want to do with Darlene.
Yes, we're going to tag team.
Two classes we're hoping to do. Mm-hmm. One is people who haven't ridden since they were little kids or don't know how.
Right.
And we really, really need that. And it's something I did in my work at Presidio before, and it was hugely successful. And getting people on a bike who are just terrified to get on a bike.
Correct.
And don't really know how to do it.
Yeah.
And then there's the group of people that thinks they know everything about it, but actually don't. So that's also a second group.
Yes.
That it can be customized to whatever group that we want to do. So if we end up doing something for the city, you know, they do curtailed ones that are like a couple hours.
Yes.
They do ones that are two whole days where you try all kinds of different environments.
Right.
So it depends on what we're trying to teach and help with.
Right.
My two are the first. You know, riding for the first time,
yes.
That's super important for us. And then, you know, some kind of confidence in the road and how to communicate between drivers and cyclists.
Right.
To me, that's the second most important part of the education. And, you know, having courses in those two things maybe associated with our bike share program is what we would like to do with her. But
I think the city
needs them, too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I did one for Orinda. And they held it at their office in Orinda, but they invited Lafayette and Moraga because, you know, they're all kind of close over there. But it got, it was really good. The instructor came from Bike East Bay. It was a two-hour-long class. We had a great attendance. I went there just to see for myself. And the instructor started from basic, how to wear a helmet, what kind of helmet to buy, how to put on a helmet, because some people don't know how to do that, to the roads, like Chris said. I mean, he had a great presentation in regards to the bike lanes and what, you know, the rules of a bike versus the rules of the car, and it was really good. So I do want to just remind this committee that 501 Contra Costa does have funds for that, and I don't know, like with you, with the hotel, I mean, it might be a good opportunity to, you know, get some of your employees in there, you know, in so I just wanted to remind everybody about that. And
it can be a great experience for someone that maybe had an accident on a bike.
Exactly.
Like, I just taught this woman how to ride who had, she grew up in Iran and used to ride her bike around inside their house. Their house had like an internal plaza. And she crashed as a little kid and ended up like puncturing her lung on a fountain that was in the middle. And then the Shah was installed, and they said women can't ride bikes, basically. So she never got to get up after her fall and learn again. And I got her out there. She was so stoked to be on a bike again and like be riding again and have, you know, enjoy the freedom of being able to ride. I mean, so many levels. It was like invigorating.
Right. Yeah. But my advice is just to, you know, because if this is something you guys are interested in, I would do it sooner than later to book with Bike East Bay, because it is a really busy time for them as well. So I would do that sooner than later. But it's, and the way it would just work with me on it and in regards to the funding. But it's, I'll send you the link.
Please do.
And I really think that it seems like these guys, the employers, could. You, I mean, it seems kind of awkward that an individual employer would go to you to do this. Maybe something like one of these cycling clubs in this area could work with you and do the outreach for it, and then these guys, employers could send people to it.
So the reason why I'm saying to reach out to them is because last year the town of Danville did a class for their employees, and Bike East Bay needed to work with the town of Danville. But then when it came down for the invoice was sent to me. We paid for it, 501 Contra Costa, but the town arranged for the class.
Logistics.
Yeah, so that's why I'm saying that the employer, you reach out to them, and then you just let them know that 501 Contra Costa will be paying for the event. Okay. And then that's how I came aboard. And that's the reason why I'm saying that.
It seemed like there's
yeah, I mean,
who's going to host it is the question.
Because they needed to work with them on the time and the location, and I can't. You know.
So maybe City of San Ramon could do one.
Yes.
Funded by 501 Contra Costa.
Correct.
Correct. Host it and have these employers sign up for it. It's, hey,
we could do that too. We could either do that too, or but I'll show you guys the link. We could do that too, or the ones that we're talking about doing. We can invite individuals as well.
In the city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we'd be happy to do it inside Bishop Ranch. And it would have to be through our lawyers, make sure everybody's covered.
Yeah, yeah.
I know the educator comes on with their own insurance.
Yes, they do.
For the event, so that's good.
Yeah. So that's why
I want to make sure that piece makes sense. It would be weird for them to call you.
I'm only there to pay the invoice.
Right.
Because that way they could work with the... you know, the employers on the logistics, like everybody said.
Lisa wants to do that.
Yeah.
We can provide the space.
Yeah.
If Lisa hosts it and does the outreach and you pay for it.
Well, it would be me doing the outreach, but yeah, I could. yes, we could work together and get that going. So that's it on that.
Okay, so we're.
Williams, can we go back to item
two,
since now we have a quorum?
Sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
And then after that, can we go back to the meeting dates item 4.1?
So item 2, I don't mind writing me.
I'd like to second the meeting notes. Is that what this is about?
Yeah, we need someone to make a motion.
Okay, I will motion that we should approve the meeting notes.
Perfect. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Perfect.
And then also the 4.1.
4.1, Transportation Plan Committee Advisory Committee meeting date 2018. What's this?
Go back that's the one.
From last year?
Oh, gotcha.
No, it's for this current year's meeting dates for 2018. I just need the committee to approve the meeting dates for this year. It was a staff report in the packet. Yeah, it's just making sure everybody's on the same page with the meeting dates.
I'm Mr. Motion today. I'll make a motion that we approve those. Meeting dates for 2018, 1 through 6. Anybody want to second that?
I'll second that.
Thank you. Okay, now we can go to item 6.
Yeah. Thank you, Amy. Keeping us on track here.
Do we have to put the extra meeting that we're planning?
So we'll send an email out with potential meeting dates for that.
Committee members item.
Does anyone have anything? to talk about?
I know a quiz that's done.
I always have something in the works. I think that as a group, you guys might want to take a look at what, just stay on top of some of this bike share stuff that's going on in the valley, specifically what's going on in Walnut Creek. Might be worth looking at. Just look up the articles and see what they have to say. It's something that may come before the council here in San Ramon about what type of system to use. So I don't want to bias anybody in any way, but definitely take a look. And at some point, if we decide we want to talk about it in this group, I'd be happy to present my biased opinion. But it's definitely, that whole thing is moving into the 680 corridor, and it's going to be big decisions for the area. So take a look at the
so
vendor that they're using,
just
the Lime
Bikes.
The one
we use is Social Bicycle.
Correct. And what Chris is referring to is really good. It's this, an article just came out last week. I believe it was Pleasant Hill BART station, or was it it was a BART station out in that area that their Lime Bikes just kind of appeared at when an article was sent out about that. And so that's what he's
reading. City's program in Walnut Creek.
There you go.
That they're launching also.
So
there's a big debate about what technology works best.
Exactly.
This technology has been banned in some major cities, has been tested out and banned, and in some cities it's been tested out and embraced, and it's like the Wild West when it comes to bikes right now. So take a look at it. It's super interesting. It's super interesting, especially Phoenix in particular. Phoenix is just, the bike share program there is just whacked out crazy. I mean, it's this stuff going on.
Lime or Lime?
Lime. L-I-M-E.
And the bikes are Lime. they are bright green.
What's the other vendor?
There's OFO. It's another bike. There's
Social Bike is what Bishop Ranch uses.
I know a lot about all the Chinese companies, but then there's Bright Bikes, which is what we launched. Bishop Ranch, which uses Social Bicycles. So each one of these has a different paradigm.
Yeah.
And then you have different ways of locking and blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on.
So I mean, it revolves around station or dockless, and then e-bike versus regular pedal. I mean, those are the two big issues that I think are sort of everyone struggling with.
Right.
But certainly there's all kinds of different takes on those two big issues.
Yep.
And there's certainly as many takes as there, or there's as many battle or business models as there are takes on those two issues.
Yeah.
So.
And it's changing day by day. So.
Yeah, has the marketplace been approached about having a bike station?
You kind of have. See, that even that question is like, it's hard for me to answer because you have access to anybody in Bishop Ranch can use our bikes and start and end trips in the marketplace as it is now. There's no public bike share system in the city of San Ramon yet. So when there is one, which there should be, hopefully, you will it depends on what type of bike sharing the city decides to go with. There could be pods, like you're talking about, of bikes, or there could be no requirement for a pod. It could just be free-floating bikes that park wherever you want to put them. There's lots of different ways to set it up. So you would probably be involved in a city program. You wouldn't have to pay for it for your own location unless you wanted to put in certain kinds of systems. So that's a longer answer, but the answer first is no.
No.
And the second answer is you will be.
Okay.
And yes, but marketplace, I do work with the marketplace a lot. If you notice, you guys have new bike racks.
Yes, I have noticed that.
Yes, so those bike racks were funded through the 501 Contra Costa program.
Okay.
And I'm actually also going to be sending them information about EV charging stations. The Air District has a grant right now. It's called Charge. And they just extended the deadline for applications to March 9th. So I am going to send that information out to each of you guys, and also to Marketplace, possibly, you know, PS Business Park, you know, so that way the city can have more EV charging stations. So anyway, so that's on a different topic, but yes, we do work with the marketplace.
Yeah, and I've been working with MTC and trying to advocate for fast charging near freeway exits.
Mm-hmm.
So you may hear about this in some of the grants coming up, that the idea of a fast charger is you can go and charge your vehicle in half an hour and get on
correct.
The road. And one of the big problems with electric vehicles is it takes forever to charge them most of the time. And especially if you run out on the freeway and don't know where you are, you aren't going to go park and plug in your car and come back in 4 hours. I mean, that's just too long.
Right.
So a fast charger is really a good answer to that. So
right.
keep that in mind when you're thinking about it, the difference between really Definitely. Slow charging and fast charging and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And right now, currently at the new at our city hall, we do have a DC fast charger there, and which is right across the street from the marketplace.
So what's the difference between the fast charger and the supercharger?
A supercharger is basically, that's just a brand name that right. Tesla uses for their own fast charger
yes.
that only they can use. It's just for their people.
Oh,
okay.
So
people.
A fast charger is offered by lots of different companies. There's two or three plugs in the market now that, now there's different plugs for different types of cars, different countries, different types of plugs.
Yeah.
So there's three plugs that are in the fast charge market, and then there's the Tesla one that only Tesla can use. So when we talk about fast chargers, we're usually talking about something from ChargePoint or Blink
yep.
or NRG. There's these vendors that have fast chargers that they'll help you locate. And those allow you, if you have the right receiver on your car, you can charge your car in half an hour, which is the fastest available for an electric car, unless you go to hydrogen where it just takes the same amount of time as filling gas.
Correct.
And there is I've tooted my horn about that enough.
Oh, it's okay.
But then there's
I spent all day Friday with them on that.
Charging, which takes about 3 hours, 3-4 hours. And then there's level one, which basically you're supposed to leave your car there all day. It's kind of the thing where you pull up, plug in, go to work, come back at the end of the day, and it's pretty much charged.
Okay.
So there's all these different levels.
Okay.
And they all require different levels of upgrade of your electrical system.
Mm-hmm.
Something like a really slow charger basically is the same as plugging into a wall jack. So you probably wouldn't have to do any upgrade if you wanted to put in some level one charging near where you work.
Exactly.
For level two, you might need to bump it up a little bit because it's like similar to a dryer.
Mm-hmm.
It takes that kind of level of power.
220.
Yeah. And then the level three is 460 or something crazy like that. You
yeah.
require the transformer. That's, you need a grant in that scenario. But if there's a lot of money available, it'd be a good way to attract people who might not come to your business otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
They got half an hour to kill.
Yeah.
And they plug in and they can go and do some business and head on their way. So something worth thinking.
Correct. Correct. And with the you're good. With the charge program, that is something that the individual employer or property manager would need to apply for that grant, because as Chris said, I mean, you need to figure out the different level of chargers, and also you have to figure out where the power source is versus where you're going to put the charger, and then usually when you do put a charger, you're going to be giving up some parking, which is, I know it's a big, big deal for some people, so the charge pro, it's a great incentive, and I'm all for it. I think it's a great opportunity, especially for these places like the marketplace and or where PS Business Park is. There's movies right there at PS Business Park. There someone put a level one, like Chris said, plug in your vehicle, go watch a movie and
restaurant, go rest,
yeah, across the street,
Have a sandwich.
But anyway. But I'll send you guys the link. They did extend the application. I have paperwork here on it if you guys are interested just to read on it. But I will send the link out as well. So it's up to you guys if you guys want that or not. That's anything else? Anybody else have any other committee meeting items?
One last thing is there's going to be the Redefining Mobility Summit. It's going to be at Bishop Ranch this year for the second year. It used to be up in Concord, but Concord, the Hyatt?
Yeah.
The hotel's kicked in Concord.
Yeah.
So we took them in down Bishop Ranch. And the first year was really fun. We had all kinds of crazy robots and flying things and everything you can think of when it comes to mobility, you know, delivery robots and speakers on transportation subjects. Speaking on everything from autonomous vehicles to autonomous trucking to, you know, hydrogen vehicles, all that kind of stuff. And it's expensive to go. It's
yes.
like 300 something bucks for the full day event with lunch included. But we are having an event the day before, where if you come to our event, which is free, it's going to be kind of like a mobile conference. And I'll just drive, you're getting a bus with me and with Darlene and other members of the Tri-Valley Resource Team for Barrick Bay Area Air Quality Management District. And then that'll make a ticket to the event just $100 if you go to our event first.
Okay.
And there'll be like, you know, 40, we're thinking like 40 people in the bus.
Yeah.
Hopefully there'll be, it'll just give you a chance to see the Chevron vehicles. It'll give you a chance to see the EV chargers that we have. It'll give you a chance to see the hydrogen station, to see the autonomous bus. And then the next day, you could go to this awesome all-day event where you get to hear, you know, tastemakers in the industry talking about the future of autonomous vehicles and robots and things like
yeah.
that, drones.
Can you tell them the date of the mobility summit?
I think March 29th is the main summit, and then our event is the 28th, the day before. And we're working on the invite
for
the day
yeah.
before event right now.
Yep.
So we'll make sure everybody in here has it.
I will send that invite out as soon as I get the invite from the Air District. As Chris said, it is the Tri-Valley Resource Team on Air Quality. We are both members of that committee,
mm-hmm.
and this committee puts together events such as the Mobile Conference, that's what we're calling it this year, and it's funded with Air District funds. This committee, we, like I said, we do a couple of events. We do school events and we do employer events. So I think it's a great opportunity, and as soon as I get that e-vite, or the invite, I don't know if it's going to be an e-vite, I will definitely forward that to this committee. And on top of that, Chris, do you have the invitation been sent out for the summit?
They're working on it right now.
Okay.
I saw the first slide
you know what?
For it.
Yeah, I thought I saw something. Just for them to have a concept of what it is. I thought I saw, I can't access
yeah,
emails, but.
I saw one in a PowerPoint presentation.
Okay.
That's usually what they do first. They'll make a PowerPoint slide that they talk
okay.
about at their events.
Okay.
And then they actually make one that they send out and put on their website and all that. So I
all
guess
right.
that's probably
happening. Let me check my email, because I thought I saw something come through, kind of like, I don't know if it was a save the date, or I don't know if they were actually taking reservations, but I thought I saw something.
It was the first place I saw the driverless semi-truck, which is totally cool to get in there and see that, see how it's set out. It was the first place I saw those delivery robots that they use in Concord now.
Yes.
I mean, it's worth trying to get to. For $100, I mean, it's still not dirt cheap, but that's a bargain, and it might be worth going to just to hear the people talk and, you know, get excited about this stuff.
Yes. So I'll send all that out to you guys after this meeting.
So that's $100 per individual or couple?
Just per individual. Yeah. I mean, this is normally it's $400. So if you go to this other event, which is free, you get that super discount.
Super discount. Yeah. And the Mobility Summit is put on with...
By the Contra Costa Transportation.
Yeah. It's put on by CCTA. But I think the email that I got talks about that, but I'll send it out. Oh, thank you for bringing that up. I totally forgot about that one.
Yeah, and, you know, I'll try to report back next time more on the express lanes, because I'm trying to stay on top of that as much as I can, because I'm getting so many questions about it. Like, people are just
yeah.
intrigued at everything about it, and I don't have a lot of info. So
yeah.
it'll be awesome. Maybe Barbara can come here and talk
yeah.
more.
We did talk about that, sorry, in the previous, agenda earlier.
Sorry.
No, don't be sorry. We were on the work plan, item 4.2. I did mention to the committee that we are going to reach out to Barbara, and hopefully she can come to the March, if not maybe the May. So that's it. That's all.
So,
they work. No, that's okay. Now I can see.
Yeah.
Dry?
Oh, wait. Are we done?
Yeah.
Oh.